We began this hour talking about being truthful about unequal pay for male and female workers. Then we talked about deceptive machines committing felonies on the roads. Here's a story about a ninth grade textbook that makes what seems to be a monstrous claim about African-American slaves.
The Atlantic slave trade between the 1500s and 1800s brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations.
The line is actually in the brand new edition of the ninth grade McGraw-Hill World Geography textbook under the heading Patterns of Immigration. It makes it seem as though Africans somehow signed up to work in southern plantations, as though they got paid for their work, and as though they weren't rounded up like livestock, thrown into filthy boats to cross the Atlantic in the dark, where many of them died before they ever did any work for no pay. This past week, a ninth grader in Texas and his mother questioned McGraw-Hill over this bizarre description of slavery. The publisher has since issued a statement, which you can read on their Facebook page. It says, among other things, this book meets the learning objectives of the course. However, we conducted a close review of the content and agree that our language in that caption did not adequately convey that Africans were both forced into migration and to labor against their will as slaves. McGraw-Hill has also stated they will change their language in the digital version of the textbook and in the program's next print run, which could be 10 years away. And students who are exposed to this aren't just in Texas, but in all the other states that carry this McGraw-Hill textbook. Dan Quinn is a former social studies textbook editor, and he currently works with the Texas Freedom Network. Dan Quinn, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, thank you for having me.
What does the Texas Freedom Network have to do with monitoring textbooks and these kinds of issues today?
So we were founded in 1995 as a public education and religious liberties watchdog. And one of the first things we did was go to the State Board of Education here in Texas and monitor how they adopt textbooks. And our founder, Cecile Richards, actually, she has a little note that we have on the wall. This is even worse than I thought. It's a very politicized process. Publishers are sort of put through the mill when they have a textbook that comes up for adoption here. And we spend our time monitoring that and trying to counter efforts to censor those textbooks.
And what do you make of this particular reference to the Atlantic slave trade?
Well, it's certainly unfortunate, to say the least. We don't recall this particular passage being part of the debate over the social studies textbooks that were adopted last year. It's hard to know why it happened. It could have been, quote unquote, honest mistake by an editor. It could have been just something that happened in the editing process. Who's to know? But it does raise questions, particularly in a state like Texas, where you have politicians that determine what more than 5 million kids are going to learn in their public school classrooms. They've politicized the process here so much that when something like this comes up, you have to wonder, what's the source of this? Why did they try and downplay this in the textbook?
How can this be an honest mistake? It says that somebody believes that the slave trade was sort of an employment arrangement. It's utterly monstrous.
Yeah, it's dreadful and boneheaded. There's no doubt about it. I'm encouraged that the publisher has immediately said, yes, this was a bad thing to do, and we're going to make the change here. I don't know. You know, I worked in the industry for a while, and I'd like to think that it wasn't an editor there who was sitting down saying, we're going to deliberately downplay the role of slavery and how horrible it was. I do have to say that most of the textbooks that we saw last year do a pretty good job of describing slavery in the United States. In fact, they do a much better job than the very politicized curriculum standards adopted by the State Board in 2010. I mean, those standards actually downplay the role of slavery in United States history. One of the board members, in fact, argued that slavery was a side issue in causing the Civil War, that it was really all about states' rights. And that's the way they wrote the standards. The standards say nothing about segregation. They say nothing about the black codes. They say nothing about the KKK even. But the textbooks do talk about all of that. The problems come in, though, when they come before the board. They sometimes have to shade things. They have to muddy the waters a little bit because these are for-profit companies. They invest millions of dollars in these textbooks. They want to give the customer what the customer has asked for. Otherwise, they're going to lose a lot of money. So I think sometimes they make some compromises. They shade things a little bit. But there's no doubt this was a really boneheaded thing to write, and it's dreadful, and I'm glad they're going to change it.
You know, in a textbook where you're trying to convey a shared sense of history in classrooms that are presumably diverse with African-Americans and white kids and Asian kids and Hispanic kids, and we're having so much trouble in the last couple of years reconciling that common view of history where you know, blacks look at a policeman and, you know, their families recall the history of law enforcement and violence, whereas whites look at a policeman and see, you know, Mr. Safety. It seems this is exactly the kind of thing that exacerbates the kinds of problems that you have in places like Ferguson.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And that was one of the arguments that we made before the State Board of Education when they were adopting these textbooks. You have to teach students the truth. I mean, there's a reason why this country is still arguing about the Confederate flag flying at state capitals and Confederate heroes statues on university campuses like here at UT Austin. And that's because we haven't told children the truth in many cases. Generations of Southern children have grown up learning that the Civil War was fought over some sort of noble cause like states' rights. No, it wasn't. It was fought over the right to enslave human beings. And students should learn this information. When you have curriculum standards like we do in Texas that downplay that role, all you do is make these problems in society even worse. And we continue to argue about things that historians tell us are essentially based on nothing other than just a political argument.
If McGraw-Hill had made a mistake that said that the Declaration of Independence was written in 1676, I mean, wouldn't they do a print run to correct that immediately?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to wonder about the expenses involved in this, but I would suspect that they would be doing a lot to change their textbook. I mean, this really is kind of a symptom of the problem we have here. How is it that a textbook got through the adoption process here without a passage like this even being noticed? Well, that's easy to answer. Politicians on the State Board of Education here are more interested in promoting their own particular political beliefs than they are in making sure that the textbooks themselves are accurate. So they have a very deeply flawed adoption process that really doesn't allow for the in-depth examination of the textbooks that are really needed. So now we have these textbooks in the classroom. The publisher's scrambling to figure out what to do. It's going to cost a lot of money to do whatever they want to do. Meanwhile, you have students with textbooks that are deeply flawed because of passages like this. That's a big problem.
Dan Quinn is a former social studies textbook editor. He currently works with the Texas Freedom Network, which is a watchdog agency that oversees the editing of textbooks in the state of Texas. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.